You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Good Together, the podcast that inspires you to create change in the world every day. Keep listening for actionable tips and tricks to incorporate eco-friendly practices into your daily life.
We've been featured by Apple as the number one podcast for conscious consumers, and we can't wait to welcome you into our community of changemakers. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Laura. We're the founders of Brightly.eco, the new platform for conscious consumers. We believe in supporting all creatures, great and small.
And our team of experts show you how to live and shop responsibly by sharing world-changing lifestyle ideas, products, and more. To read show notes from Good Together and to browse all of the planet-friendly goodness that we feature, head to brightly.eco/podcast.
And to help spread the word about the podcast, tap on this episode and share Good Together with your friends and family. A simple text message helps us grow and create change around the world.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles. Laura, you've probably heard me talk all the time about my love for Sheets and Giggles. I've been sleeping on their new sustainable eucalyptus sheets for the past 8 months straight. I recommend them 1000%. Every week I wash them and put them back on the bed right away. They're my go-to sheets. All of my other sheets, even the ethical ones, are taking a long break.
After hearing you rave about them for so long, Lisa, I finally got a chance to try their new eucalyptus comforter. So I'm a weirdo. I really like having a comforter on my bed all the time, even when we have the heat blasting. I haven't woken up once hot while I was using this one from Sheets and Giggles. It's a great ethical and sustainable alternative to the down comforter we used to use that's now sitting on our guest bed. Another thing I love about Sheets and Giggles is that they don't use plastic packaging and the materials don't use pesticides, so they're kind to our animal and insect friends.
They also plant a tree for each sheet set that is sold, and they're passionate about giving back. They give 10% off to customers who donate their old sheets to homeless shelters, and they have donated over $40,000 to Colorado COVID relief.
Good Together listeners get 15% off by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at SheetsGiggles.com. We put a lot of focus on how to be more eco-friendly in our everyday lives, from eating plant-forward diets to buying from brands that put the planet first. One thing we don't often consider, though, is how to be more sustainable pet owners. That's a topic today's guest, veterinarian Dr. Rory Cowlum, is very familiar with. During the episode, we go over sustainable pet diets, how to cut down on waste, poop bags included, and more. Because spoiler alert, your pup will love plastic-free shampoo bars just as much as you do. All right. Hi, Rory. Welcome to Good Together. We're so excited to have you.
Hi. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes. So listeners, today we've invited Dr. Rory Cowlum. He's also known as Rory the Vet on Instagram. He's a practicing vet in the UK who is super passionate about the intersection of sustainability and pet ownership. If you're based in the UK, you might have seen him in a few UK-based TV shows that really showcase his unique veterinary skills. But we actually found Rory through his Instagram account. We love his quick tips and tricks on how to be a more eco-friendly pet owner, which is what we're talking about today. So welcome, Rory. I wonder if you can kind of give our listeners an overview of sort of what you do and sort of what got you interested in the eco-friendly part of pet ownership.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, thank you for that lovely introduction. I'm Rory. I'm a vet. I've been a vet for 5 years, based in London, UK. I love everything animals. So I have basically dedicated my life and my Instagram, as you point out, to animals and cute pics, but also trying to educate as many people as possible on good animal welfare and good animal husbandry, and basically trying to help the modern pet parent look after their dogs and their cats and their rabbits and their guinea pigs and whatever you've got in the best possible way. Now you asked me how I got into the sustainability thing. I think that's a really interesting question. I've been asked that a few times, and my answer has always been, how have you not got into the sustainability?
Oh, I love that.
Because unless you're living under a rock, we all love life. We all love humanity. We all love nature. And particularly as an animal lover myself, how can I preach to people about looking after their animals when actually so much of my responsibility and what I stand for is animals worldwide and wildlife and plants and the ecosystems and nature? So for me, it's not a separate thing. It's all one thing. It's all about doing what's right for animals and nature and ecosystems and the planet.
Totally agree.
So I think, yeah, and I think you hit on it there. I've sort of tried to combine a little bit products and ways that we look after our pets, and using things like single-use plastics and just trying to be that little bit more eco-conscious, not only about our own carbon footprint, but also about our pets' carbon footprints.
Yes. And I think, you know, as we as conscious consumers start to think about our lives in general, most of us own pets and most of us have questions about what the impact of our pets are on the environment. And of course, we also want to be the best possible pet parents. I actually have always been really interested in the intersection of, you know, our daily activities and sort of their mark on the world. And I actually saw this really interesting article. I feel like it was totally clickbait a long time ago, but there was a headline that was going around that was like, is owning a pet worse for the environment than driving an SUV? And of course, I mean, that's like, to me, the most clickbait thing I've ever heard.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, so basically what happened was there was a UCLA study that came out that said that dogs and cats are responsible for about 25-30% of the environmental impact of meat consumption in the US.
Yeah.
Basically then they compared that to the amount of carbon emissions that come out of SUVs. And basically they're saying like, it's kind of the same thing. I don't know if I agree with that necessarily, but you know, it's one of the things where we think about everything from, you know, the food that our pets need, all the way up to the waste that they create. It's a really interesting topic. So I'm really excited to get into it with you. So I guess we could kind of start with that first topic. I mean, we do have a lot of listeners and Brightly community members who are interested in, you know, veganism and cutting down on the amount of meat that they personally consume. And I know that oftentimes that kind of comes into the pet world. So have you ever worked with clients or asked fielded questions from people who are curious about the meat consumption that their pets are really involved in? Because I mean, that's the way they're, I mean, my thought is that's the way pets are created. I don't really know how we can get away from that, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. I get this all the time, and actually more and more so sort of recently, because I think you're right. I mean, that more and more people are becoming more aware of what they're eating. We do have a huge vegan community, both in the US and the UK. I think people are starting to think about the eco side of that. I think originally veganism was really about animal welfare, and it's all about sort of the welfare of the animals that you're eating. And I think more and more so, actually, people are turning vegan, not necessarily because of the animal welfare, which obviously is important in its own right, but they're also turning to veganism because of the eco standpoint. And that's becoming much more of a reason for it. I mean, I must say, I have stopped eating meat because of the eco standpoint. I will occasionally indulge, but I'll only indulge in sort of very local, small bread. I grew up on farms, right? So literally up the road. There's this amazing, lovely farm, and I'll eat meat from those sources. But really, otherwise, I won't touch it. So I think there are more and more people asking those questions. And yes, so I get people come in and they say that they feed their dog a vegetarian or a vegan diet. I think more and more we have to think about it. There's more and more studies going into it. There's more and more companies producing vegan and vegetarian foods for dogs. And really, the question is, can we do it? And is it okay to? And is it ethical to?
Yeah.
And the short answer is yes. But there is a word of warning there. And the caution that must go with that is the fact that we don't really know, with regards to long-term health, how those dogs will be. So because it's such a new thing, because traditionally we feed dogs kibbles and meats and whatever else, we haven't done the studies, we haven't done the longevity studies in those dogs to actually show that they have good health for 2, 3, 4, 5+ years. Yes, we can say that with blood tests over 12 months, they seem well because we've done those tests. And early signs are good. Early signs are good that dogs could eat a vegan diet. However, for me, from my point of view, really focusing on animal welfare and animal health, I would really struggle to recommend a friend to feed their dog a vegan diet right now.
Yeah, I love that you've accomplished this sort of thought process through thinking about blood tests, testing, and wanting to really think about the overall longevity of the pet. Because I totally agree with you. I think it's something that's absolutely worth studying more, especially as we as a society start to develop meat alternatives, like you mentioned. But yes, I think from a overall, in general, from an overall thought process, this is a fascinating conversation, and I feel like people are going to be so interested in that. So yeah, it makes sense.
Absolutely. You mentioned alternatives there as well, and we've got to, I suppose, throw soy and corn into this conversation. Do you have soy and corn? Well, corn protein in the UK? Sorry, in the US.
Yes, we do. We do.
Yeah, so corn is a mushroom is a fungal protein, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. You probably know better than I do. But recently, I found out that actually that could be toxic to dogs. So we've got to be really careful when we're thinking about alternative protein sources for dogs. We can't just say, okay, well, just because a human can eat it, that doesn't necessarily mean a dog is okay with it. And equally, high levels of soy are not great for dogs either. So we've got to be careful. The advice I'm giving people at the moment when they're coming to me and say, I want my dog's diet to be more eco-friendly. Mm-hmm. I say, okay, great. Well, why don't you halve the amount of kibble or halve the amount of meat you're feeding and supplement that with veg?
Yep.
Like that's a good, safe, easy way of really reducing the carbon footprint of that food. And I think that's going to be the safest way for now.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of like what we tell humans to do. Right. We have so many podcasts about healthy eating. Actually, one that came out just very recently was with a company called Thistle that is really dedicated here in the U.S. to providing easily accessible vegan meals. So I've enjoyed trying them recently because it's kind of inspired me to try more vegan meals. But yeah, I mean, we talk a lot about small steps people can make every day on this podcast. And so truly, even just, you're right, supplementing some veg and getting in there. I think obviously we probably need to say this on the podcast. Please consult with your own vet. This is not to be taken as medical advice for your animals.
Absolutely.
So, of course, please consult with your own vet before doing any kind of food changes with your pet. But I love to know that that's something that you recommend. I think going to another topic that is always top of mind for me. So some of our listeners might know, I have 3 dogs. I did not plan on having 3 dogs, but I have a very old golden retriever. She's 12. And she, poor thing, is just riddled with, tumors and just old thing. But her quality of life is fine. Like, she still acts like a puppy, runs around.
Yeah.
I have a 4-year-old German Shepherd Husky mix who is a lot, but he is
amazing.
He's a sweetheart. And then because of COVID, like, I and my husband, like many people, chose to adopt a puppy because we were, had so much time at home and we figured we could devote even more time to training and stuff. So she's about a year old now, which is crazy that we've been in this pandemic for so long.
Yeah.
But she is a Great Pyrenees Border Collie mix. And so she actually came from an area of the States where they do a ton of agriculture. So I think they do that type of breed to look after sheep herds and things like that. But anyway, with three dogs, the three large dogs, comes a lot of waste, both from the poop end, but also from a toy and, you know, overall just fun end, right? Like they're big chewers. They destroy pretty much whatever I give them in short order. So one thing that I think about frequently is the amount of waste and sort of the plastics and sort of the toxicity that's potentially going into the manufacturing of their toys. And so I'm always looking for ways to keep them occupied while not having to give them something that's just going to be destroyed immediately or can't necessarily be reused. So I wonder if you've ever done any thought in that area around like waste of items that we potentially provide to our pets.
Absolutely. And I think, we're lucky in the UK that we have a lot of brands that are really starting to think along those lines and using renewable materials, using natural materials to make good, decent chew toys and other products for pets. This is great, actually, speaking on from a US point of view as well, because I can't give brands here a shout out, which is great. I mean, it's good that we can think about the standard approach to this, because thinking about things like bamboo, thinking about using materials that are really renewable, natural rubbers, and stuff like that. Actually, they can all be used in dog toys. I have a box of toys sat right next to me right now. And if I go through there, it's all eco-based. There's a load of bamboo products, such as chew toys, such as bowls, such as poo bag dispensers, those sorts of things. You can get leads that are completely plastic-free. And it's really exciting. It's a really exciting time in that sphere at the moment, because there is a real demand for these products, and there are companies really answering this call. I've got a puppy. I don't know if you knew this. I've just adopted my first pup. I've obviously
had a dog. That's so exciting.
Right. And it is. And it's so exciting. But it's also thrown me into this, like the consumer aspect, right? So I've always been on the other side of the table. I've always been there as the vet, sort of advising people and trying to help people and trying to get people to think more eco-friendly. But then, from my point of view, I've just been thrown in the deep end here and just gone, okay, well, now you've kind of got to listen to your own advice and you've got to go looking for these products, because they are out there. You've just got to think about it. And I mean, even if we think about the first things that I worried about with my puppy, okay, so toilet training. So the first thing that you think about with those are things like puppy pads, particularly if you're based in a flat or in somewhere without a garden, you use puppy pads. Well, actually, no, I went out and looked and now I use actually a piece of turf, and we put a piece of turf in a cardboard box outside the front door, and that is her puppy pad.
I've heard of people doing this. It's so cool. Is it working well for you?
It's brilliant. You know what? It's even better, because they don't get used to peeing on the pad on the carpet, so they don't get that association. And it's completely natural. It's eco, and it makes me so much happier.
That's
amazing.
And it
lasts like a month as well. And also, this is the thing. Everyone talks about eco-friendly products being more expensive, but actually, if you work it out, I did the math. So puppy pads work out about 50p in the UK, probably the equivalent of around 70 cents in the US, I would imagine, per pad, right? You're using those, what, two or three times a day per month? That's probably around 30 to 40 bucks or pounds. This piece of turf is about 20 to 30 pounds, and that's lasting about a month as well. So actually, it's costing me no more. If anything, it might be even saving me a little bit. But it's so much better for the environment. That, and also things like food bottles. They're always plastic, right? They're always plastic or metal.
Yes.
Well, why don't you go and find a bamboo bottle? And I know bamboo gets a lot of stick about things like cleanliness and going through dishwashers and all that sort of stuff. It can end up not being the most hard wearing product in the world. Particularly with a dog bowl, just rinse it under the tap. I mean, particularly if you're not feeding a raw food, you don't really need to clean it thoroughly every single time. So it's not going to get that wet. So it's just about engaging the brain, thinking about how can I be a bit better for my dog.
Yeah, I love the piece about thinking about new materials to go after. So of course, you're right. There are some US-based brands that I see mostly starting to use recycled plastic here. So I wouldn't say that we've had as many brands going into the bamboo space, but I'm excited and I'm sure there's people working on that as we speak. So I think it's you know, the same kind of conversations we have, like when we talk about fashion here, like durability, you know, is the product going to last for a long time? What are the materials that it's made out of? Where is it made, right? Like we know that most pet products and things are made in China. And we also like to say here on the podcast, just because something's made in China doesn't necessarily mean that it's made poorly or unethically, but traditionally that has kind of been the way of things. There are companies that are working to change that, but typically, you know, the supply chains around pet products are, you know, not very transparent. So I definitely think there's an angle there. And, you know, the other thing too is, again, thinking about the amount that we're consuming. So you just mentioned, you know, you're kind of been thrown into it, into the deep end, as it were, as a new sort of pet parent. But we also hear a lot of this from, you know, parents of babies too, right? People who are new parents who are, you know, most likely minimalists, if you think about it. And then all of a sudden they have a baby on the way and, you know, our cultures in general are about buying as much as you possibly can to like somehow increase the welfare of your new baby or pet. And it's just generally from a you know, macro level, it's kind of amazing to think about the amount of consumption that is expected on behalf of like being a parent, right?
And it's so hard, and you can miss things, right? So it's so if you sit 10 products in front of even you, who is so centered around being eco-friendly, if I put 10 products in front of you, you wouldn't be able to tell me straight away if they were eco-friendly or not.
No way.
It could look from the outside like, okay, yeah, it's a bamboo bowl. Okay, well, what if it was made in China and it's got 3,000 air miles on it? And actually, you know what? The water consumption to make it was this. And you've got to think about all these things. It's so difficult. Really, we need transparency. That's the other thing. And I think as the drive for these products it increases, I think we're going to have to get these companies to be more transparent with these things. There's a really cool company in the UK, and I won't name names, but they're a food company, and they're doing a thing called blockchain technology. Have you heard of it?
Yes, I have. Yep.
So this was a completely new concept to me. I believe it came about through Bitcoin originally. To certify each step in a Bitcoin mining and growth and all that sort of thing. So anyway, way beyond me. I don't do finance. I'm so financially illiterate, it's ridiculous. Unless it's got four legs and barks, I don't really know much. So this blockchain technology was used by this food company to basically highlight where every single ingredient in this food was coming from, how it was being handled, how it was certified by, say, for example, the Soil Association or the Farmers Association. And then it's got every single step approved and through the factories, and it's all got its mileage on it. It's got its consumption on it. So it's so transparent. And I think these sorts of technologies and these sorts of things are going to have to become commonplace so that we can be sure. Because unfortunately, we also live in a world of massive, massive companies that love to hide these things, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, there's nothing that worries me more about these small, amazing, eco-friendly, lovely boutique companies being bought by giants, because they immediately stop sourcing the products as nicely. They stop sourcing the raw materials from an eco-friendly source. They get things from China. They outsource the manufacturing. And unfortunately, even the most eco brand can be ruined within 6 months going into one of those deals. So don't feel bad. Don't feel bad if you're listening to this and you're going, I have no idea what I'm doing with my products that my dog's using. It looked eco and it's not. And I mean, I've fallen into the trap. God, I mean, the amount of times I've looked at something and gone, oh my God, what are you doing, Roy? That's stupid. That's so un-eco-friendly.
Oh, we all do it, right?
You do. And you just catch yourself and like, oh my God, you are so silly. But just change. That's all you can ask for yourself is just realize it, think about the things you're using, and try and think of eco-friendly sort of alternatives. And if it's not made as well, if you're someone that's way cleverer than me, just go and make it. Like that's the other thing. Just we are in a society now of eco-friendly warriors. And I think if there's something not made, go and get it made, because like it's gonna happen.
This episode is brought to you by Sheets and Giggles, a company with a punny name but a seriously sustainable mission to make better bedding for everyone. We started partnering with Sheets and Giggles earlier this year, and the positive reviews from our community keep coming in.
I've been on a hunt for sustainable bedding for a long time now until Brightly actually recommended Sheets and Giggles. I would highly recommend. The material is great. I personally tend to get hot at night and my boyfriend tends to get cold. So it definitely serves as a happy medium. Highly recommend.
I also get hot at night, and I found that after sleeping with Sheets and Giggles moisture wicking sheets over the past few months, I can't remember the last time I woke up overheated.
I love my Sheets and Giggles sheets. They're my absolute favorite. Not only because they're super duper soft, but they are sustainably and ethically made out of eucalyptus.
Yep, I love that our scout Ashley called out how soft the Sheets and Giggles sheets are. Plus, the eucalyptus that is in their 400 thread count sheets is grown without insecticides or pesticides. They also just launched a bunch of new colors, and I can't choose between navy, blue, and red. Help me!
Sheets and Giggles bedding is super lightweight and soft, and they really nail it on zero waste packaging.
We recommend Sheets and Giggles for the softest, most sustainable sleep out there. Good Together listeners get 15% off at checkout by using the code BRIGHTLYECO at SheetsGiggles.com.
Oh my God, Laura, I just had my favorite vegan lunch ever. It was a green Thai curry.
That sounds amazing, but what's your secret? I feel like plant-based meals have always been a pipe dream for me. I've been trying to cut down on my meat consumption, but I really don't have time to think up and prepare filling, tasty vegan meals.
Same here. I've been participating in a vegan cooking challenge with the Brightly community, and I feel like I've totally failed. Seriously. I feel like I've learned so many more meatless recipes this year, but when it comes to vegan cooking, I'm still very much intimidated. So when Thistle reached out to us, it was the perfect timing.
Thistle's plant-forward meals are seriously tasty and are delivered ready to go on your doorstep. Right now, they're just on the West Coast, but they're adding more locations. Anyway, I was really surprised at how filling and super creative the meals are. The spices and the sauces they include are really unique and tasty.
I loved how fresh everything was as well, given that it's mostly vegetable-based. Laura, I know both you and I love to cook, especially during the pandemic, but it's been a great addition to our weekly routines. It's a quick alternative to takeout lunches between Zoom calls.
Absolutely. Thistle is plant-based eating on autopilot. You don't even have to think about it, and bam, you're eating better for the planet. Good Together listeners can get $100 off with the code BRIGHTLY at thistle.co. That's thistle.co. Absolutely. Yeah, we talk a lot about, using curiosity as a vehicle for creating change. So just simply by asking yourself the question, you can, start to get into a research mode or discover a new brand, et cetera, to kind of, reset and reevaluate habits and actually really just kind of transitioning to another question that I had. This is exactly how I started it, right? I had my dogs out at a park. They used the restroom and I went to go pick up their poop and I put the poop in a bag. I put it in a bin and I noticed the bin was like overflowing with bags because it must not have been, picked up or removed in a long time. And I was totally struck by the amount of plastic coming out of that bin.
Yeah.
And I used to live in California, and California is notorious for the amount of work they've done to ban single-use plastic, specifically shopping bags. And so yeah. I had this thought where I was like, wow, like we have really gotten rid of a lot of these, takeout bags, et cetera, at a shop, but we still have a big problem with single-use plastic waste when it comes to dealing with waste of pets. And really, I mean, if you think about diapers with babies, same thing there. Like we've got to start thinking about like how to dispose of waste, from our pets in a more eco-friendly way. So, there are compostable options available, et cetera. But I'm curious to know is kind of what your experience is with these types of products as well.
Yeah. So I use either degradable or compostable bags generally. And they're They're out there. You've got to go looking for them. They took a while for me to find. And
yes,
there's two or
same.
Three brands in the UK that do them. But they are a little bit more expensive, but they are so good. They're so well produced. And once you start using them, you will not go back, I promise you. The ones I use are cornstarch based. And they are, yeah, they're just compostable and then they will just break down. So if you have a dog poop specific bin in the park, then they just start breaking down, and it's so much better for the environment. It's so much less single-use plastic. The other thing that I've tried to start doing, and this is I don't know if this is a bit gross or what, but I try and pick up two poos in one bag.
Yes, I've done the same thing. Yes, same here.
Right.
Yep.
So I just put a loose knot in the top, and then I go and I pick up the second one. It generally works quite nicely. The other thing I'm a big advocate for at the moment, and I'm trying to work out how to make my dog walks more eco-friendly. Right, I live in a city, so I live central London, and I go to the park. And I was walking along one day, just listening to, I think it was a podcast actually, but I was just listening. I was going, how can I be more eco-friendly on my day-to-day jobs and my day-to-day walk? I'm walking through a park that is in central London, and yet the parks are relatively clean over here. But even the best kept park has litter around. So
yes.
I stop and I pick up litter. Like, that's an easy one, right? But what about a dog poo that's on the floor that no one's picked up? Go and pick it up. Don't be a snob. Just go and pick it up. It's not hard. And just trying to not walk on bits of grass, trying to stick to the path, letting the dog go and run around, but trying to walk on grass and not ruin the grasses and that sort of thing. Because, I mean, if you think about the carbon filtration aspect of grass, oh my God, especially during the winter, it's so important that the grass stays healthy, because just from overuse, you can destroy a whole field within days. And that is such a devastation to the carbon filtration sort of properties of parks, especially in central cities. So it's just about trying to think, like, look outside the box. Just think about it on your walks. And I think if everyone did it, again, just like vegan, if everyone ate less meat, the world would be a better place. If everyone was a little bit more eco-conscious on their dog walk, the world would also be a better place.
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned the environmental impact of just taking the dogs out to run around. There are so many times when I've been on a hike with my pets, or even just without them, and just kind of walking around, and there'll be signs that say, you know, unfortunately, animals aren't allowed here, but there's usually a reason for that, specifically to help not disturb existing wildlife.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
I know it can be a bummer sometimes to, like, go somewhere and think, oh, well, you know, my dog is an animal, it should be outside with everything else. Like, that's totally fine. And most places allow you to take your pet in a safe area, but make sure that the dog stays on the trail and it doesn't get in, you know, especially one area that I was living had a huge population of burrowing owls, and those were very easily disturbed because they lived in the ground. There's all sorts of just interesting impacts that potentially happen if you choose to let, you know, your animal kind of run wild and potentially get into the other piece. The last thing I wanted to mention about waste specifically, because it's something that we kind of uncovered when we did a little bit of research, but there is, you know, there, I mean, oftentimes people think that it's okay to bury waste in the ground or to just leave it sitting out because it's better than putting plastic into the, you know, back into the ecosystem. And unfortunately, that's not usually the case. There's two things that we kind of found out. So the national NRDC, I always forget what that acronym is. We'll put it in the show notes, but it is a resource council here in the United States. They had a quote that was like, you know, please do not leave dog waste on the ground because the rain and just general runoff can take contaminants from that waste and get it back into the ecosystem, which can contribute
Absolutely.
To, you know, toxic algae outbreaks and all sorts of, you know, things that come around from that perspective. The same thing goes for flushing waste down the toilet. You know, oftentimes, so, you know, places do not have treatment plants designed to screen out things that are contained in animal poop specifically. And that comes from EcoWatch. So again, it's always worth looking up to see what your facilities are, you know, it's possible that they have the, you know, the filtration systems in place, but as a typical, you know, just best practice, we really should be picking it up, right? Like that to me was interesting. I thought maybe you could accomplish it the other ways, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I think that's probably going to be a common misconception. I think people listening will be surprised at that. But also the other thing you've got to think of is, and I don't know what the uptake in the US is, I apologize, but in the UK, something that we're very hot on as the veterinary industry is parasite prevention products. So you have a dog, you use heartworm prevention, or you use lungworm prevention, or you use worming treatments, or you use flea treatments, right?
For so sure.
They come in either tablet form or spot on form. We as the UK, I know in the US for a fact, because a rep told me recently that the US uses more tablet form parasite prevention than spot on treatments that you put on the back of the neck. So if you think about us giving those, they're in the digestive tract, they are going to be excreted in the feces. That goes back to your point about rain washing those drugs into waterways. So it's really important that you pick those up, because they can also be toxic to aquatic life. They can be toxic to flora and fauna in the environment. So you have to be really careful about picking up your dog's poo. Now, it is obviously really important that you use those preventions to maintain your dog's and your cat's health, but be aware that those products can then end up back in the environment. We as the UK still use a lot of the spot-on treatments, and actually there's a bit of a move away from that, because we've started to see in water samples, in waterways around the UK, low levels of the drugs we use in those spot-on treatments, which is a real worry.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think in general, it's us just thinking about the amount of chemicals and, you know, things that are potentially going back into the waterway. The same can be thought about for pet shampoos, just like human shampoos, and wanting to potentially look for more clean options there. I also thought about that with my dogs and found a pretty good, clean alternative that comes in a biodegradable container. So again, it's just like
bars or shampoo bars. They're making them now. So even for dogs, there's a few companies that are making shampoo bars and paw balms that are solid blocks now that don't have any packaging at all.
Yes, we actually got sent a shampoo bar by one of the big brands. I know it's in the UK too, so I've got to try that on my pets. Amazing. Too, to kind of see how that goes. But I think shampoo bars are. There are things that seem intimidating to people, right? Because we're just so not used to it. But if you think about it just like a soap bar, then it's kind of like, oh, right. Duh.
You know, I started using soap bars and shampoo bars last year. And honestly, I've not even looked back. It's so easy. And it's so nice as well, not having all that plastic in the shower. And using I use a coconut tray to hold them in. And it just feels nicer. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. And so that was going to kind of transition into another question I had for you, which is, you know, how, you know, as you've become more interested in eco-friendly living from a pet perspective, what are some other sort of sustainable living habits that you've kind of picked up over the years that you now use in your own life? So you said shampoo bars. I love that. What are some other ones that you're actively doing?
So shampoo bars, crystal deodorants, that sort of thing. I'm quite a lot of toiletry aspects. I don't know why the toiletries really seemed like an easy switch for me, because there's so much plastic in those things. Bamboo toothbrushes, all that sort of stuff. I think it's just a very easy switch, and it doesn't really affect you that much. So I did all of that a couple of years ago. The other thing was my diet. So I stopped eating as much meat. That was a big change for me. I was quite a meat eater. I probably eat meat at least twice or three times a day. So that was quite a big change for me. As I say, I do sometimes cheat, but it was a very conscious change. The other things, so I use things like soap nuts to wash my clothes rather than detergents.
Okay, that's great.
Because they're better for the environment, and they're really easy and simple to use. What else do I use? I've really got into plants as well, and that's houseplants have become my passion.
Plant dad, love it.
yeah, not just dogs and cats, it's plants as well. So, I mean, I'm sitting in my office and I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 plants in my office.
Wow.
That's not even the start of it. I grow my own veg, I grow my own herbs. I also had this big thing about waste in the kitchen and what you can do with it. So I've grown my own pineapple. I've grown all my celery, like the celery bases and the lettuce bases, you can just put in water and then they will regrow and you can just reharvest those. So I have on my windowsill, I just have all the bases from celery and lettuce and all those sorts of things. And they're just growing and you can just harvest those alongside.
That's amazing. Yeah, we've seen so many great TikToks of people doing that. We've posted a few of ourselves. So,
right, they're so
it's so
good.
Interesting.
They're so good. And using things, and bananas as well seem to be the thing for anyone that's a bit green-fingered. So I'm a big banana fan. I'll have a banana every morning. And I keep the skins and I put them in a bottle of water. And I basically use that to make my own plant fertilizer. And honest to God, you need to try it. It is amazing. And your plants will love it. Just water them with it once a week. If you just keep replenishing the skins every 5 days or so, and you basically make this like brown, horrible smelling water, and you put that in your plants, and they just love it. Just don't use it on any plants that you're going to eat, because it actually can be toxic. You just got to be
okay.
About that.
That's good to know. That's good to know. And of course, like, pet owners also should definitely check their house plants too, to make sure that the plants are not, if they're toxic plants, that they're not within reach of the pet. If you have cats, oftentimes that's another business, because cats can jump up and get access. Yeah. But that was another thing that I often looked, to make sure that my plants weren't necessarily in reach, because you'd be surprised. I mean, you and I, Rory, wouldn't be surprised, because we've probably been doing a lot of research here, but I think listeners would be surprised about, how many plants actually are toxic to pets. And then, same thing with food, right? Like you'd just be surprised about how many things they can't have.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so as we wrap up, one question that we always like to ask our guests, sort of in closing, is, what is exciting you the most about the eco-friendly and sustainable movement right now? And if you can relate it back to pet ownership, that'd be great.
I think it's the thing that encourages me is we can take a positive from COVID, right? So we've just lived through the hardest year that a lot of us will ever remember, I think.
Yes.
And there'll be people out there that have had a great year, don't get me wrong. But the majority of us are anxious. We've had a really tough year. We're either over or underworked. We're struggling financially. And pets have been a huge crutch for us. Okay. The thing that encouraged me the most right now is looking at the positive eco benefit that has come from the COVID pandemic. It's looking at what humans can do for the environment if we make big changes. So you look at the pollution from the Wuhan province in the first 6 months of last year. It was cut so much that you could see it on satellite images. It was unbelievable. You look at the emissions from big cities last year, they were at record lows. You're looking at reintroduction of wildlife that had been extinct from areas for years and years and years. And because of COVID and because of reduced human activity, we're seeing those numbers rise. So there is a huge benefit that's come from this. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't expect everyone to carry on living like we have done, but if we can just take a look at ourselves in the mirror and look at what can happen when we extremely change our behaviors, I think we can learn a huge amount from the last year.
I totally agree. Yeah, we, over here at Good Together and Brightly have definitely seen, great highs, great lows because of the past year. And then personally, the same goes for all of us. And I think you're right. The more that we can take a step back, think about the positive impact that, at least try and get some kind of positivity from what's happening, I think it makes total sense. And I, for one, also love the intentionality that's come out of this pandemic, right?
100%.
Like it's kind of the only thing we have time to do, which is sit around and kind of think about everything. And while we want to try and, not overdo it and not drive ourselves too crazy, I do think there's been such an opportunity for us to understand the impact of our daily habits on the planet, on the environment. But Rory, thank you so much for joining us. This has been such a pleasure. And listeners, you can find Rory on Instagram at Rory the Vet. He posts amazing tips. And, regardless if you're in the US or the UK, they are, applicable around the world. I've just had such a fun time talking with you. I'm sure we could get into, 8,000 other things related to pet ownership. It's been great.
We could be here for hours, I think. So we should definitely wrap up. Thank you so much for having me. And you've got to give your three a big cuddle from me too.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for joining us on another episode of Good Together. As always, you can get show notes and explore lots more content related to all things eco-friendly living by checking out brightly.eco/podcast.
And don't forget to join in on the conversation that's happening on our Facebook group. Simply search Good Together Ethical Shopping and it'll come up. You can also leave us a question through voicemail. The link is on brightly.eco/podcast.
If you're into social media, give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and all of the channels. Our username is brightly.eco.
Finally, we want to leave you with a reminder. Every day is a chance for you to create change, and you're already covered for today since you joined us here on the podcast. Stay kind and live brightly.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.